Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Oi, how is you?
I'm doing well, and you?
Oi, that's all right.
All right, we've lost a good portion of our audience.
Right, yeah. Well, you know, you've seen any of the good cinema lately?
Nope. Nothing.
No.
Nope, not a damn thing.
No. Well, I suppose then the podcast's over.
Yeah. Probably right.
Right. Speaking of other places that aren't America, where we're all quarantined at the moment, Paraguay, how are you? You're a little blip that showed up in my analytics that you like, so thank you, Paraguay.
Wow.
Yeah, isn't that nice?
That's my new favorite country.
There it is. Get on it, Paraguay. Don't ask me to find you on a globe. I won't. Would you like to go first, Max, or do you want me to go?
Let's see.
I will end on a high note.
Okay, then I'll go first. Mine's, okay. I have a mid... Yeah, pretty... this is a pretty positive episode for me.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. So, first movie is kind of going along with the bad accents we were doing there.
Right.
I did 2019's The Lighthouse.
Ah, yes. I own this and have not yet watched it.
Oh, I'm excited. I'm excited to hear what you think about it.
I promised Pat from Does Pat Get It that I would watch it with him.
Okay.
Super pumped to see it.
Okay. I am
excited. But then quarantine.
Yeah. I'm excited for you to watch it in some capacity, however you elect to do it. It'll be fitting if it was just you and another dude watching it.
Yeah, that's what I want.
Well, I watched this in the theater when it came out in October. Mm-hmm. It is 1 hour and 50 minutes, and it is a horror film. It was directed by Robert Eggers, who, if you're a fan of horror, had did the semi-recent The Witch, which on the marketing looks like two V's stuck together, so it's The Vavitch. It stars Willem Dafoe and Robert Pattinson and two other guys for about 20 seconds.
Nice.
The IMDb, or the movie summary with IMDb next to it. Two lighthouse keepers try to maintain their sanity while living on a remote and mysterious New England island in the 1890s.
Nice.
So this is very much an isolation and sanity. What's real? What's not? What's going on? Is there supernatural elements at play? Is there not? Is it just these guys going crazy from being stuck together in a lighthouse? It is very well made. The weakest point of this movie, and I'm going to start on the sole weak point, and it's not really a weak point, it's the script is a little light. It focuses a lot on the elements of insanity versus like how they feel about each other and developing the characters. It's a very pulled back script, but every single thing about this movie is so well addressed and elevates what is a pretty sparse script into something super memorable, in my opinion. If you don't know, the movie is in a square aspect ratio, and that really helps serve not only the shape of a lighthouse, where it's more boxy than it is like wide, like we see now in the widescreen aspect ratio, and it also makes it everything, you're not quite sure what's going on at the edges of frame. It gives you a very claustrophobic feeling when you're watching it, which I think is really cool. And
how did that translate in the theater?
After a little bit, you didn't really notice, but you had big letterboxing on the side, so you were probably losing like 40% screen real estate.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it really helped because it made you uncomfortable to see those giant letterboxes on the side. You're like, what is going to come out of the sides of the screen? Or like, what's going to happen to these people? And it made you kind of distrust everything right away. So I think Eggers was smart to do that. The movie is also in black and white. And I think that also works to serve the visuals that he's going for in this movie. Some really cool stuff, and the way they shot the black and white's really interesting. I've watched this movie. I own it on physical media, of course. And I've watched it with commentary, of course. So it was cool to hear like why he made those choices, and he does cover all of that in the commentary, which is really neat. The main thing that I think a lot of people will take away from this is the fucking insanity that is the performances of the two leads. Both of these men go fucking bananas. It is so good. I won't spoil it, but there is elements and things you have to deal with, including farting and masturbation, and it's two dudes, so those are things that absolutely would happen, and it is awesome. It's so good. Powerhouse performances from both of these actors.
See, I know Willem Dafoe is amazing. I really want to see Robert Pattinson, because I've heard he's really good in this.
Yeah, and I didn't really know too much about him outside of like Twilight and Harry Potter before I watched this. And he fucking blew me away. He was so good, and some of his performances are so just absolutely disturbing. It is really good. There's a scene, I won't spoil it for you, but there's a scene where Willem Dafoe gets what looks like dirt in his mouth. It's supposed to be dirt in the movie. And I was like, oh, would they just, like, have food or whatever? Like, you know, like, crushed up Oreos or something they were throwing on him so that way it could go in his mouth. No, it was actual fucking dirt.
Yeah, that's Willem Dafoe for you.
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck? I mean, like, it's a shitload of dirt. Like, it's gross, and it's in his mouth. Like, full on, bleh.
Good for him.
Yeah, wild shit. It is really a bizarre movie that really takes the elements of madness and makes you feel like you're going batty with these two dudes.
That's great. I can't wait to watch it. I'll let you know when I watch it.
Yes, please. IMDb gave this a 7.6 out of 10.
Okay.
Rotten Tomatoes critics, 353 of them gave this a 90%.
Nice. Very nice.
The audience, 1,931 people, gave this 72%.
Hmm.
I gave this an 8.5 out of 10.
That's fantastic.
It's very good.
That's awesome. Well, I can't compete with that, but I can tell you about this movie.
Please.
I watched 2018's Mute.
Hmm.
I watched it in January-ish. It is 2 hours, 6 minutes. The genre, mystery, sci-fi, thriller.
Okay.
The director is a director I like, Duncan Jones.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, fuck is right. He did Source Code and Moon. Moon is one of my favorite movies ever.
Oh, movie's not really perfect.
He also did the Warcraft movie, and he did this movie. It stars Alexander Skarsgård.
Hmm.
You know I love the Scars.
Yeah.
Paul Rudd.
Wow.
And Justin Theroux. He's a guy that you would probably know if you saw him. He's been in everything ever.
Okay.
Your summary, a mute bartender goes up against his city's gangsters in an effort to find out what happened to his missing partner. It's his girlfriend. I don't know why they wrote partner.
Okay.
Very strange. It's a very interesting movie. It is Blade Runner-y. It is kind of like near future sci-fi kind of thing going on.
Okay.
Not a lot of like crazy technology, but it's in the future.
Cool.
My bullet points, it drags a little, but it kind of remains interesting. Paul Rudd is an odd shithead character.
Huh.
And you just don't know if you like him or not up until the end.
Wow.
And Justin Theroux is very, very creepy in this. He is the creepiest character probably ever.
Hmm.
Basically, you have Skarsgård, who is a mute, and he had a childhood injury. He cannot speak. So that alone makes this an interesting performance for him, because he has to emote everything. He does occasionally write things down on pen and paper, but his acting is what I really enjoyed about this movie.
Cool.
Paul Rudd is kind of a bad guy, kind of not. It's weird. He kind of floats back and forth. He is scuzzy, and he looks weird. He's got a weird mustache.
Whoa,
and,
wow.
Weird mutton chops. It's a whole thing.
Interesting.
Definitely Google it.
Okay.
I love his character arc, but I don't want to give too much away. This movie is a little rough, though. There are better movies to watch in this genre. But if you just want to see a really good performance by Skarsgård in a not-so-good movie, this is definitely the one. This is better than his performance in that other piece of crap I told you not to watch.
Yes.
That one.
It was so bad you can't remember it.
God, hold the dark.
Sorry you remembered it. There it is.
It came back to me, goddammit. hold the shit. Hold the crap.
Mm-hmm.
IMDb gives this a 5.4 out of 10.
Okay.
Rotten Tomato, critically, 84 critics, 20%.
Yikes.
Audience score, 1,400 some odd people, 47%.
Okay.
I give it a 5.5.
All right.
I think it's not for everyone. I think the characters are better than the movie itself.
Right.
Because you want to see the three characters I mentioned. You want to see what happens to them. And I would love to tell you, because it's great, some of it that happens. But it's like, it's hard for me to recommend you sit through this 2-hour movie to get there. Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. Understood. So, next one on the docket for me is one that I feel like fits, is a little bit more positive than yours, okay. But it has some pieces that don't quite work. It is 2016's The Void. I watched this in October.
Okay.
It is 1 hour and 30 minutes long, and it is a horror film,
I would imagine.
It was directed by Tim's current top standing directing team of Jeremy Gillespie and Stephen Kostansky, who were formerly known as Asteron Six, who directed Father's Day and
the
beloved to this podcast,
yes,
Manborg.
Yeah, Manborg. I was with you.
This is starring Aaron Poole, Kenneth Welsh, and Ellen Wong. The summary is: cloaked cult-like figures trap a police officer, patients, and staff inside a hospital that is a gateway to evil.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
So this movie is pretty... If you're familiar with the Asteron Six guys, they're both makeup effects background, and they both are pretty good at working with what effects they're capable of getting up on the screen pretty well. Manborg, I think, is a testament to that.
Hell yeah. BioCop, too.
Yeah, oh my fucking god, BioCop is so good. So this story is no different. It is very much crafted around, like, what's some of the coolest shit we can come up with, and how can we get it into a movie? So
that's great.
It's really good. It's like Silent Hill-esque in a lot of ways, where there's a lot of weird human body horror, and it's very David Cronenberg-esque in that
Crash.
Way. Not Crash Cronenberg, but more like The Fly.
I'm not letting it go.
I know. It's a weird fucking movie. And this works for like 85% of the movie, and definitely works on a guy like me who loves horror and loves makeup effects. Sadly, the 15% of the movie that they neglected were really, really interesting and compelling writing, especially of dialogue, and also direction of their talent, which feels very lacking in this movie. And you know from my re-review, I guess, or my whatever you want to call it, when I watched Manborg, that was my complaint about Manborg as well, was a little bit of the dialogue was a little bit too heavy-handed or a little too cheeseball. Like the Skull character who kept hitting on the one dude's sister.
Yeah.
And this has a lot of that, where some of the moments that are really big, these are the in a horror movie, you need these human moments to make the audience feel the horror. And this is kind of where the movie olays a little bit for me, is the acting's a little wooden, a little cringy at times, and the writing is a little, we're trying to get exposition out, or otherwise it's not very, and like, oh my God, what is happening?
So, I love that.
It's, but this, and it works in a Manborg, it certainly works in a BioCop, but it doesn't so much work here, because the tone is super serious, and it's really good. When it works, it's fucking awesome, and when it doesn't work, it feels real bad, because it was working so well previously.
Some sort of void in their direction.
It's a little devoid of good directing at times. But it is an awesome movie. The effects alone are worth the price of admission. It is such a cool flick. I dug it a lot. The cultists all have these really cool mask and hood combos that have like triangles that hide their face. It's really fucking cinematic and interesting to look at. These guys fucking crushed it with this movie, especially with the budget they were working with. Really well done. Really worth
it. Was it $1,000?
It was more than the price of Manborg, which was $1,000. But it wasn't a whole hell of a lot, and they really had to, I mean, these makeup effects are elaborate. Some shit they did, I was just like, oh fuck, this is awesome. So I think you'd really dig it.
Nice. I'll have to check it out.
IMDb gave this a 5.8 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes critic score, 73 critics gave the 78%. Audience out of 6,095 people, which is pretty high for an indie flick.
Absolutely.
The audience gave it 46%, which I think is a little low in my opinion. I gave it a 7 out of 10.
Oh, good. Good, good, good. Well, really nothing can top Manborg, you know?
Nothing can top Manborg, and it really doesn't take much more than like some cool-ass special makeup effects to get me in a seat.
Yeah, no, definitely. Not to go on a tangent, but if you go on Twitter, BioCop has his own Twitter, and it's amazing. He's probably already asked COVID-19 to kill him.
I watch BioCop, is all I'm saying. BioCop is so fucking
short.
Good.
It's like 5 minutes.
It's a trailer, yeah. It's amazing.
Well, it's time to take us all home here, Max. And I'm going to do it with a movie I know you like. 2017's Baby Driver.
Oh, my God. Yes, I do love this movie.
Yeah, I know you do. I watched this on December 30th-ish. All right.
Great way to leave the year. Jeez.
1 hour, 53 minutes. Genre action crime drama. Yeah. Directed by the always amazing Edgar Wright.
Isn't he?
He sure is. Starring Ansel Elgort, I'm going to guess. John Barenthal.
I think so.
John Hamm. Yeah. how do you say that? Aiza Gonzalez?
Sure.
And Kevin Spacey.
Yeah, we're not allowed to talk about it. Well, no, we're allowed to talk about him now, right, because charges were dropped.
I don't kind of want to. Your movie summary. After being coerced into working for a crime boss, a young getaway driver finds himself taking part in a heist damned to fail.
Yep.
Doomed to fail.
No, it's
my
damned. Way's
better.
Yeah.
Damned to fail. My bullet points. This movie is so much fun. Kevin Spacey was a total D-bag on set and in real life.
Yep.
This throttles action and drama really well.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel this is one of the best John Hamm performances, especially in the second half of the movie.
Oh, yeah.
His character has a great arc throughout.
Yep.
This movie's so much fun. The car chases are fun. Some of the scenes where they're on foot is really fun. Basically, it's just fun. Like, I don't even have to tell you too much more. This movie was so much fun. They looked like they were having a blast doing the scenes. I don't know if they were having a blast filming with Kevin Spacey. I'm pretty sure John Barenthal said it was like the worst thing ever.
I believe that.
Yeah. And Barenthal probably wasn't, he wasn't even that big then. So he was up and coming.
Yeah.
But I just love the way this is shot. I love all the cameos. Jamie Foxx is great in this when he shows up. Just a great movie. A chase movie, which you don't see that often because they're expensive, damn it. Things need to drive into other things.
Yeah, it's cool. And it's, like you said, everything about it is so well addressed. That opening scene to Bell Bottoms is fucking great.
Yes, the incorporation of music with the driving.
Yeah.
Him constantly having earbuds in, but like he's reading lips and things. I loved it. I thought it was great.
Agreed.
But now we come down to that moment where I'm like, did I make it high enough for Max? So, Max, without me saying, just off the top of your head, where do you put this?
I would probably put this around an 8, probably.
Okay. All right, then we're cool. So, IMDb gave this a 7.6 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes, 373 critics gave it 93%.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Audience, 62,000 some odd people gave it 86%.
Okay.
I give it an 8 out of 10. This movie's great.
It is. It is an awesome movie. I think you nailed it with John Hamm.
He's so good in this.
He's great at both things that he's doing. Jamie Foxx is phenomenally uncomfortable through the whole movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, once he shows up, it's great.
And you also get Paul Williams in there if you're of the Muppets or Phantom of the Paradise.
Yes.
He shows up, which is really fucking rad considering it's a music-driven film. It's just great. I mean, even just Baby going to get coffee and it's all done, choreographed, is phenomenal. Like, everything's so well addressed. It's one of the most orally pleasing movies you will watch.
You damn right.